Hello, everybody. Welcome to the emergency edition of the Microbrew Podcast, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I am joined by my colleague, Kurt Hoag of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are coming at you in an unusual hour because Corbin Burnes has been traded to the Baltimore Orioles. Brewers make a big trade in exchange for a couple younger guys, left-handed pitcher D.L. Hall, shortstop Joey Ortiz, and a competitive balance draft pick. So, we didn't think that was going to happen. In fact, it had seemed like the Brewers were trending toward that definitively not happening. They said it wasn't going to happen, which, of course, that's not why we thought it wasn't going to. It's just they signed Rhys Hoskins. It looked like they were, you know, making a play to be their absolute best selves in 2024, maybe taking a risk that a couple guys were going to walk, and that is not how they're playing it. So, Kurt, there's a couple questions. You know, why now is one question, I suppose, given that it sure seemed like they had made up their minds. I suppose there's enough offseason left where that's not the case. But what do you make of the trade? I guess, like, is this enough? We talked about how, I mean, Burnes is a free agent after the season. It probably makes sense for the Brewers to make this trade. The people are not impressed with the return. I think the return is interesting. I actually think it's adequate personally, but, you know, I'm not blown away. I don't think anybody is. So is this trade on its surface, does it seem like it fits a player of Corbin Burnes' caliber?
Yeah, totally. I think the trade return, if you map it out on paper, it's always a dangerous thing to do, or not on paper, on a spreadsheet, which is how these things are done. I think it tracks D.L. Hall, like, real upside. Joey Ortiz, like, not super flashy, but should be a good utility infielder for a while to come. And then the comp pick is valuable too. Like, you saw the Brewers got Tyler Black at, I think, the 33rd pick, and the Brewers got the 34th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Josh Knoth was right around that spot last year in the draft. So, like, you can get really good players, even though this year's draft is down quite a bit from last year, from what scouts are saying. But I don't think that the initial, like, reaction to this trade is going to be about the return. I think it's about the fact that they traded Corbin Burnes.
Well, sure. But yeah. If you're going to give up one of your best players, you can understand why people are like, that's it.
I guess my point might be that, yeah, there's not a whole lot that in a return that would, I think, assuage the fact that they just traded Corbin Burnes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the Orioles certainly have prospects that have the capability of smoothing over the whole Corbin Burnes was traded thing. Brewers did not get those guys.
No.
I've liked D.L. Hall as a prospect for a while from afar, but they didn't get Kerstad. They didn't get Mayo. They didn't get Basayo, I think is how you say it. I'm not sure who else could have been available, but yeah, they didn't get those guys.
Like, very similar to the Hader trade in this reason. The Padres, when they made that trade, had the best farm system.
These guys are way better than I think the Hader return was.
Oh, interesting. Okay. But I'm saying you're getting guys way down their prospect list, and you'd think, you know, even for 1 year of a Cy Young winner, you would think, I don't know, a top five prospect in the organization at least. And, you know.
Yeah, but these guys are top four in pretty much every system but Baltimore's.
Okay, yeah.
Because they have Jackson Holliday. They have Bessiah. Like, they have all those guys. So,
yeah.
Like, just think, I say the return's not the thing you think about right away, and here I am sitting here talking about it. But I think, like, at first glance, D.L. Hall would probably slot in maybe a little bit after Tyler Black, just because there's some serious risk of, like, he's a reliever. He could be a really good reliever, but he could be a reliever. Mm-hmm. And then Joey Ortiz is probably, I might bump him a little below Robert Gasser. Yeah, so just a little contextualizing of that. But they traded Corbin Burnes. I think we all knew it was a real possibility coming into the winter, so it's not as much of a blindside as the Hader thing is. But there's still some, like, real ramifications of this. And honestly, I think the reaction from people is a little more upset or tougher than I expected it to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. What did you gauge from the polls?
I do think it was a little tougher, but mostly because I think the reaction was to the return, to be honest. I think that it just isn't. The Hader trade happened once, and that return was underwhelming, and they can spin it however they want, saying that Esteri Ruiz turned into William Contreras. While that is true, on the surface, they didn't get a ton for Josh Hader, especially when you're considering it was a year plus of Josh Hader. This guy is more valuable than Josh Hader. He is Corbin Burns. He's a starting pitcher. He's a Cy Young winner, and was still pitching at a very high level the 2 years since he won the Cy Young, and it is only 1 year. That is true. But I think it's fair to ask questions. Could they have gotten a package of this similar caliber at the trade deadline? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Could they have just ridden it out? Because what separated them from other teams was their starting pitching and their ability to use the defensive pitching in concert. And now they're sacrificing that thing that makes them special in a year where they just signed a first baseman who addressed the need they have. They've created a new need, and the guys they got are fine. It's just, and you knew it would always be a prospect exchange, but those guys are probably not going to be, well, I shouldn't say that. They're going to be contributors to the big league club this year. So that is unique. I was going to say they're not going to be stars this year. It's possible DL Hall is unlocked as a very good starting pitcher, but you know, like, they're not special anymore in starting pitching. You can't convince me that they are. So now what separates them from other teams? That's a fair question.
Nothing. I like the bullpen maybe, but we've talked about like bullpen volatility in past episodes. And also, who's to say Devin Williams is still here? Like,
yeah,
out of starting pitching, out of offense, out of defense, out of bullpen might be the least important thing. Like, I think most people would say defense, but it's really easy to gloss over the importance of defense. Now, the Brewers are still probably pretty good at defense too. So they have the bullpen, they have the defense, but yeah, no, at first glance, this team doesn't have the starting pitching. They just don't. Like, there's no way around it. There's no way to sugarcoat it.
Yeah, it's a weird position to be in. And it relies on Aaron Ashby getting healthy, which feels like a major question mark. It relies on Robert Gasser developing very quickly, a guy who has not yet made his major league debut, developing very quickly into a reliable starter, or DL Hall.
Yeah, developing into Aaron Ashby to be healthy and like hit his ceiling, which is possible.
Yeah. Right. I mean, thing with Ashby, he's healthy. Yeah. He hasn't lit it up at the big league level. He's struggled. Yeah. You would look at that on paper and be like,
ooh. Like, I would probably still take the Brewers rotation over like St. Louis's, I think, just because it has the variance of being like really good as opposed to just a bunch of like older innings eaters. I guess, would I still take it over the Cubs? I don't know. But like, I would not be surprised if at the end of the year this rotation still had the best numbers in the division. But I'm not banking on it. And it's just hard to look at a rotation of Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Aaron Ashby, DL Hall. Am I missing someone? I got to be missing someone.
I don't know if you
is are. Jansen Junk is still around. He wanted to go to Japan, though. So like,
oh, no.
insert whatever depth starter you want here. Oh, did I hear about Robert Gass or whatever? Like, that's... that's not a playoff rotation. It's not. And the Brewers are still going to try to be competitive in 2024. Like, whatever calculations that their front office is running says that they still have a chance to compete in this division. I'm not overlooking that one bit. I'm not saying they're dead in the water one bit. But you can't look me in the eyes and say, yeah, we're 2024 is you know, we're taking a crack at this thing. When you've lost Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff from your starting rotation, you just can't.
I think it's I could understand the point of view that you are at risk of losing Willie Adames and, quite honestly, Rhys Hoskins after the season, in addition to Corbin Burns. And you could see how they could sit around and say, we can't afford to have all these guys hit the market and get just a competitive balance, or not a competitive balance, but whatever they call the picks, compensatory picks for them. Like, I could see that calculus, and Corbin Burns is probably, well, you're obviously not going to trade Hoskins, and Corbin Burns I could see is the more attractive of the two options on the open market right now. And I want to talk about the shortstop situation a little bit, because it changes a little bit in my mind with this addition. again, the move makes sense. Like it makes sense that they would do it now. We talked about it even at the beginning. Like you even said, would you recommend that the Brewers make this move of trading Corbin Burns at the outset? And you said, yeah, that would be a move you would make. It would be a move I would make too. I think it is the logical move. And who knows if there's a better return out there? There probably isn't. They probably weren't going to make, you know, wouldn't have made this move if they didn't love what they're getting back. But, you know, it's just hard to, I mean, there is an argument that Corbin Burns is the best pitcher in Brewers history. I wouldn't necessarily make that argument because you're really only talking about four peak seasons.
Yeah, at his peak. Yeah, he is.
The Brewers have never had a starting pitcher for those four seasons as good as Corbin Burns was. They just have not had that.
And durable, had that too. Durable.
Right. Durable. A great story, guy who came back from, you know, a completely lost season where it looked like he was unplayable to become one of the best pitchers in baseball. Easily could have won the Cy Young in that 2020 season, which is a weird season. You know, did win it in 21, arguably, you know, upped his innings count in 2022. You know, I wouldn't say got better, but arguably improved in one area and was a great story. It was pretty clear he was walking. Like, there's no doubt in your mind, right? Nothing lingering in your mind that he could have been here beyond 2024, right?
Those were his own words.
After the arbitration thing, which I still feel like was mismanaged a little bit. I don't think if they manage that correctly, that history changes.
No
here.
Relation to what happened this year, no.
But I agree. I think they trade him anyway. Okay, these players... We don't know a lot about them, obviously, but you know a little bit about D.L. Hall in particular. Is he the type of player you think can start? You mentioned that he could be a reliever. You know, they got Jacob Mizorowski filtering up with some of those same questions.
Yeah, I think so for sure. He's got 4+. The fastball is incredible. I mean, he throws at 97. And like the metrics aren't like super duper amazing necessarily, but like he throws it from a funky slot with that velo and like that's enough. And it's been completely dominant throughout his career. So like you have a lefty throwing that hard and that's the base. It's a really good base. He's got like a slider that's a plus, maybe a plus pitch. He also goes curveball, changeup. Like these are all good pitches. Like he does not throw an average pitch.
Okay.
Now, how can he sustain the velo like multiple times through the order? How can the command of the secondaries be multiple times through the order? On top of like, how is the command in general? He walked, it was like 13 or 14% of batters at AAA last year. That is a serious ceiling limiter. Like you have to strike out like Blake Snell level guys to make up for that many walks, but. The raw stuff is there, and it's like it really is a perfect match made in heaven of Brewers PD with a pitcher with raw stuff and like that fastball. And if this is the guy the Brewers drafted, everyone would be salivating and fawning over and whatnot.
Yeah, I agree with that. You're right. I agree with that.
The thing is, like, he's what, 25 or so, 24, 25, I think. He's already been at the big league level, and there's still a question of like, is he going to start? Not risk you necessarily want to be taking on in a guy like that far along in his development. When you're trading Corbin Burns for the guy,
yeah. But again, 1 year of Corbin Burns, it's fair to
one
say
year that of Corbin Burns. 1 year of Corbin Burns, yeah. But. Okay. We can get to that. We can get to the whole 1 year, like Brewers 2024.
Well, I mean, that part depends on how you felt about the 2024 season, which again, my viewpoint, I guess, changed more than I realized when they signed Rhys Hoskins. That was a really great idea. I thought, was the best first baseman on the market, and not even on the market. Like that was the best free agent first baseman available this season. And so that signaled to me, okay, they are papering over is not the right word. They are shoring up where they're weakest.
Yeah.
And they had strength in themselves. And now they
can get D.L. Hall at the deadline. A D.L. Hall adjacent, you know?
And maybe you have more. I don't think you necessarily have more teams vying for Burns' services at that point. I think it's.
Well, you might.
You might. Obviously, the risk is obviously pinning. You know, when you are the team with the pitcher, the big name pitcher, you run the risk that that guy blows out his arm and you get nothing.
Yeah.
Because that happened to Brandon Woodruff.
Which is why we started this off by saying, it makes sense on paper. But paper's also not the fun way to observe baseball. That's just something that I've learned more and more over the last few years. It's like, I really thought the Brewers were making a statement and kind of a fun statement at that of like, you know what? Why not us in 2024? We're going to go sign Rhys Hoskins. We're not going to trade these guys. Which, by the way, Matt Arnold's quote about when our very own Todd Rosiak, 2023 Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, asked if more moves are expected. Very eye-opening quote of like, I'm not going to shut down those conversations. We will see. There's 2 weeks left before spring training. They are having conversations about Willy Adames.
Oh, they're going to make another move.
I'm still not sure it's going to happen. We'll see. But like, that to me was a very eye-opening quote. But the second thing, like, I think that shifting my evaluation of this trade, like in real life, not on paper, is the Brewers probably not going to put this money back into the team. They had a chance to say tonight they were going to put the money back in the team. Maybe they will. I'll eat my words. I will eat my words if they put the money back on the team. Literally, I'll write them on a piece of paper and I'll eat them.
Yeah, their payroll hovering right now just north of $100 million, and I don't want to make it sound like that's not a ton of money. It, of course, is a ton of money.
That's not in the grand scheme of things for baseball teams. In 2024.
Right. That's not a lot of money. I do think
the Brewers have elevated their payroll expectations on, like, the raw number in recent years to, like, 120-ish, that range. I think they even went, like, 130 or so in 2022, which... Yeah. Coincidentally, the year they didn't make the playoffs. So, like, payroll's not always tied to winning. The Orioles are probably still spending less than the Brewers. But
that's right.
This probably puts the Brewers in what? Like, bottom seven of payroll in the league? Let me
take that. Well, the Brewers, look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to be the Orioles. They now have 4 draft picks in the top, 80 in the upcoming draft. They've got 6 of the top 100 prospects, according to Baseball America, when they add DL Hall into the mix, along with Churio, Mizorowski, Tyler Black, Robert Gasser, Jefferson Caro. They have, you know, we talked about them recommitting to their operation in the Dominican. They are they have a lot more guys, prospects than that, who have some pretty strong grades. Like, they are trying to be that team that suddenly has a wave of prospects over and over, and they don't have to spend big time money. And that's not a stupid process. That makes perfect sense. And, you know, maybe at some point they're back into the shape where the Orioles are, where they catch fire, they become a team that can win 100 games, and then they add that starter or two either at the deadline or before the season and really go for it. That's what Baltimore is doing here. They're going for it. And
which, good for Baltimore. Like, this, we didn't predict that they would get these. We said Kobe Mayo. We were so close.
Man,
this is 2 moves in the offseason. We said the Brewers, like, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, everyone was saying Burns to the Orioles makes sense. This was not a microbrew thing, although it was a microbrew thing. We got to give ourselves some credit considering how awful we usually are predicting these things. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a very sensible move for both sides from the beginning of the offseason.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think what you're seeing right now is everyone loving it for the Orioles. So I think that makes it harder. Like, of course the Orioles, give them A's.
Oh, this is a fantastic move for the Orioles.
Yeah.
Like, DL Hall might become something really good, but he could be a reliever.
But they'll have him for 6 years, you know? They have him for a long time. Joey Ortiz is like
their 9th best infielder under the age 25.
Like, yeah.
Joey Ortiz to them is what, I don't know, like, if the Brewers had traded... Estuary Ruiz. He's there, Estuary Ruiz.
Estuary Ruiz, the name that keeps coming up, the gift that keeps on giving.
So here's an interesting, this is a payroll, back to the seg on the payroll. I kind of like to rank it, like, see where the Brewers rank against the rest of the league. And now they are 22nd or 23rd, according to Fangraphs, where they sit right now. And 2022, that's exactly where they were. But for most of this ownership tenure, from 2008 through 2015, they were no lower than 20th, usually around 15. Mm-hmm. They dropped to 30th in the league in 16 and 17. And they had no expectations of winning.
Makes sense, actually.
And then in 2018, actually, they were only 26th. But I think, yeah, I think like the expectations on payroll might have been raised a little bit throughout their history to like 22nd or 23rd, you know, and not reinvesting these finances back into the current team while saying you want to win falls a little hollow on some ears.
Yeah,
it does. It falls hollow on my ears or your ears.
It does fall hollow, but I have no doubt in my mind the Brewers are going to make another move. I'm not saying that that's going to be a blockbuster or a massive upgrade, but they always do something right before spring training. The last few years, even Ryan Anderson
counts. This is right before spring training.
Right. Well, but I mean, the end of February.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Like if they went out and they spent this money on Blake Snell, which is not going to happen, but like say Blake Snell took a 1-year deal, or you had gone out and signed, I can't think of free agent relievers, like Luis Severino or like someone.
Sure. Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, you go sign Jordan Montgomery. I'm not super sure I would love that, the deal he's going to get, but yeah, you get someone. There's still lots of good starters available. I think it would be a great move for the Brewers. Like you replace the Corbin Burns money with Corbin Burns light.
Totally agree.
And then you replenish your system and get two really interesting prospects and a pick for 1 year of Corbin Burns. Like that makes it look even better. But
yeah, we have to, in fairness to the Brewers, this is not a finished picture yet. Let's say they go out and sign Blake Snell, which we both think is unlikely to happen, but I wouldn't call it impossible. Who knows? I mean, I didn't think they'd sign Reese Hoskins. And he has not signed yet, if he's looking for a 1-year make good deal or whatever, you know, give him $25 million for 1 year, you could see them doing that. This is a team that would work with a pitcher that only throws six innings a crack with their bullpen, you know, like you could see that happening.
Yeah, except I cannot see it happening.
It's not going to happen. But like
IRL, not happening.
But, you know, perhaps they have an opportunity with Matt Chapman. I don't even want to say that name. That's not even a good fit, really. That's not going to happen. But there is an opportunity for them to upgrade here somewhere. And they still, in my opinion, have the capability to make a trade. You know, they still have a ton of outfielders. There is a possibility that one of those guys could be used as part of a trade package. You know, they've got options here. They've got this deep system now. I mean, that's what Baltimore is doing, is dealing from the depth of their system, and it's yielding some pretty good results, you know, like, you know, former Cy Young starter Corbin Burns, for example. So there's still runway here. I don't want to cut that off from them.
I think that's sort of the thing that, like, look, the Brewers are set up pretty well for the future, but I think you look back, we might look back at this and wonder why the Brewers didn't deal from their system. Esteri Ruiz doesn't count.
Yeah, Esteri Ruiz does not count. That like, is the most like, baffling deal in Brewers history.
They still let's be very clear here. They have like, not with these guys, they might have the best system in baseball. Like they might have stolen from the Orioles the best system in baseball title.
You're right. But the Orioles have their best players on the big league level, you know, like from that system, with the exception of Jackson Holliday. But
that's no small thing for the future. But also like, best farm system in baseball does not win you titles. And now suddenly, like, there's finality to the Corbin Burns era. Baseball doesn't work in this way. It's not like this, like, arbitrary stop and start points. It all flows one into the other. But with Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta on the team, and Josh Hader, and Devin Williams, they won a playoff series.
Let's talk a little more about
They're going to go win two playoff series this year.
You're absolutely right.
That's how it's going to work.
They're going to win 85 games, and they are going to barely make it in, and they will go to the World Series.
But they're like, there's some finality to it, and that's kind of like, dang. When you think about
going from having Woodruff and Burns to having neither of them is stark. That's something maybe I wasn't prepared to experience. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean that's like at worst 5 wins that you can bank on, like at worst 6 wins that you can bank on each year.
Yeah. And I mean, Freddie Peralta, phenomenal, you know, has been really a special pitcher at times for the Brewers, but you feel pretty good about him being your third best option. And now as your guy, you're like, okay, yeah. well, we'll see.
Yeah. You basically need a repeat from Wade Miley last year while healthy. And mm-hmm. I love Colin Ray. I don't know how much more ceiling is in him compared to what we saw. So, I mean, yeah, we've talked about starting pitching.
Let's talk about Joey Ortiz and where he fits on this team. He was the Orioles' number 7 prospect. He's played in 15 big league games. That's obviously a teeny, teeny, tiny sample. It wasn't good, but whatever. His offense in the minors, it's not great. It's fine. Defense is certainly going to be his calling card. He's going to be 26 years old midway through this season. So he is an older prospect at this point, and obviously big league ready, which is part of the appeal, but where does he fit? I mean, he can play second base. He can play shortstop. I imagine he could play a little third base, but he's not, you know, an unproven bat at most charitable. Is this competition for Bryce Turang? Is this what happens after Willie Adames is gone? Like, I'm curious where you think he ultimately fits, or you use those dreaded words earlier, utility infielder. Is that all we're talking about here?
I mean, yeah, those dreaded words are sort of the reality of prospects. Like, mm-hmm. we like to think of the upside, but the reality is a lot of them just kind of turn into solid players. And Joey Ortiz is a very nice prospect. I think Fangraphs, and I really like Eric's process over there, ranked him 3rd in the Orioles system last year and like top 60 overall, which is pretty high. But even within there, it's like, is he going to hit enough? He didn't walk. Now, this is only like 32 plate appearances, but he did not walk once in the big leagues. If he's not gonna draw walks, I'm not sure the hit tool is good enough, and the power, like the power is at best league average. I'm not sure that's gonna be enough to like be a big league regular. Now the glove is fantastic, and you can live with a lot less bat for the glove. But I am like, maybe this is just like a personal bias sort of thing or anti-bias against prospects. When I hear glove first prospect or like that's the highest graded tool, I do get a little bit of an alarm bell in my ear. That's probably a little bit of personal like preference. And that can burn you sometimes when like you see a guy that hits the ball really hard but swings and misses and you're like, yes, that guy, I like that guy. that burns you too. So we'll see this year. He's got a chance to play third base, got a chance to play second base. Like those spots are wide open on this team. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the everyday second baseman by May. Just all going to come down to how much he can hit and like how well the plate discipline carries over. Cause he does have decent plate discipline. It's not like swing and miss at everything. It's just got to translate to the big leagues, which is, that's a question.
Yeah. You and I have both spoken at length about how Bryce Turang's offense is a concern, you know, and it wasn't just this past year. It was quite bad this year, but like, obviously he's here for his defense. In the minors, it didn't seem like it was profiling. It seems like it profiled in the minors exactly what you saw in the majors. I'm trying to remember exactly what my impression was of his offense as a minor leaguer, you know, what the numbers were kind of showing. And if Joey Ortiz is the same thing, or if like he is a better offensive projection.
He's got a better track record through the minors. Like he first went up to AAA in 2022 for like the last month or so of the season, and he absolutely mashed, and that's kind of what got him like where he got to on the ranking systems. Like Joey Ortiz has more raw power and does a better job of translating it to games. Then Turang does for sure. Like probably you could say like Mitchell and Frelick too, you could group them that, whatever. Tyler Black is probably a similar comp. He might even have more power. Like it's there. How often can it come out? That's the question.
Yeah.
we talked about like the 9 guys between second base and third base that it's like someone's gonna win the job, right? Who stands out? I don't know. Joey Ortiz certainly among that group. There is reason to think he could stand out.
Man, can they just get somebody who can hit home runs to play third base? Is it so much to ask that somebody with a big bat can play third base for the Milwaukee Brewers? They have a first baseman, finally. They've got to have corner infielders that can
match.
If
you could teach Jorge Soler to play third base, like you use up all your experience points, you put the money into Jorge Soler, and now we're cooking.
I saw Ryan Braun play third base. I don't think I could do that again, but, you know, I don't know.
If you want a good time, look up Ryan Braun's minor league third base game logs. Defense stats, beautiful, amazing.
I'm going to pass. Maybe I would like to see Jorge Soler play third base because he'll hit home runs. That's what I just asked for. That's what I wanted.
Fun. You did. That's all you wanted.
Gut feeling, do you think Willy Adames is here at the start of spring training or at the start of the season is probably the better question?
Yes. I think yes. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Like, who desperately needs a shortstop that bad?
Well, that's a good point. You know, the package they got for Burns, you know, if you're underwhelmed by the package they got for Burns, you know, Adames is not going to fetch you somebody who's going to contribute.
Which is interesting because, like, his value could be as high as Burns. Like, you could argue.
Mm-hmm.
Since Adames came to Milwaukee, I would venture to guess they're, like, pretty similar in their war. And that's with Adames having, like, a not good offensive season and kind of a decent offensive season. Nothing special, even though he set the franchise record for home runs by a shortstop in a single season.
Oh, the Brewers. And the Brewers tweet was so weird, Kurt. It was like, assuming we all saw the trade, and it was like, here's the update on that trade we just made. It was so weird how they presented the Corbin Burns trade. But
yeah, the thank you Corbin message went out third.
Yeah.
Like, very weird. At least it didn't take as long as it did for Council. Which, although very different circumstances, and I think it would have been funny if they hadn't even put out a council tweet, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure they really wanted to put out a council tweet.
I'm imagining someone's, you know, they're not on Twitter, but they get like Brewers tweet notifications, and then you see the tweet, and it's like, oh, details on our move. Okay, let's pull it up. Pull up tweet, click the graphic. We have acquired DL Hall, Joey Ortiz, and a comp round. Oh, that's a wow.
That's a nice little package. Who'd you give up?
And then at the very end, the lead was buried slightly. Corbin Burns was the final word of the release.
What did he do in Chicago? Did he strike out like eight straight guys? Seven straight guys? What did he do that day at Wrigley where he almost...
I'm going to say he struck out 10 in a row.
I think he did.
Which tied the major league record. And then he had 17 or 18.
He didn't have 18 strikeouts, but he had 16, I want to say, against Chicago. In addition to throwing eight innings of the no-hitter, now both sides of the no-hitter tandem in 2021 are gone. That was Corbin Burns and Josh Hader. He won the Cy Young, and I don't want to throw shade here, but that was the first legitimate Cy Young in Brewers history. Pete Vukovich, love the man, love the 1982 team, but like Pete Vukovich, his numbers... One of the worst Cy Young Award winners, statistically speaking, ever. It was a different era, different time. He was pitching through injury.
Corbin's was more contentious at the time.
But yes.
I thought it was totally deserved, just like the dominance with which he pitched. His FIP was like, here we go, deciding Cy Young based on FIP. I know, nerd alert.
Yeah.
It was like 1.6.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
That is very good.
Yeah, he was quite good for the Brewers. Yeah. He'll face him again. In April.
Possibly. Shout out to Pete Vukovich and Raleigh Fingers, obviously all Cy Young MVP, but like 1981 was a strike shortened season, split season, reliever. That's weird. I mean, it's cool because he was awesome, but it's weird. And Corbin Burns was truly, truly dominant in 2021. Very good again in 2022. He was just truly excellent pitcher, truly excellent. The Brewers have not. I mean, Ben Sheets and Yovani Gallardo were very, very good. I just don't know if Brewers fans in our generation experienced that level of excellence. I mean, I think Teddy Higuera probably pretty safely is still the best pitcher in franchise history based on track record and achievement and all that. This is still just four great seasons, but man, what a warrior.
I'm going to put you on the spot with this.
Mm.
That's right. I'm putting the host on the spot. How would you grade this trade for the Brewers? You take everything into account. How would you grade it?
I mean, It's impossible to say because I've just never seen these guys play. I can't give you an honest evaluation. I would say based on what it appears they're getting. Again, this is on paper. I would give them a B, a square B, because this is what I would expect if I hadn't, if I didn't know anything about Corbin Burns, but just knew that he was a Cy Young pitcher and still very good. I would expect that at this stage for 1 year to get what they got.
So yeah, I think if the Brewers were like in the Rockies position, I'd probably give it like A minus. However, they're not in the Rockies position, and you are like, your 2024 chances are tanked.
Yeah, well, that's what that. Well, and I don't think they're tanked, but that's the thing.
But they have been, rocks have been thrown at the tank.
The whole point of the tank is that they can deflect the rocks. But anyway, I've lost where the metaphor is. That's the thing here. You know, you were going to lose him. Do you believe 2024 was going to be a big year? And again, if they hadn't signed Rhys Hoskins, I think you could pretty easily convince me that, like, okay, they're taking a step back. Maybe they throw some things at the wall and see if they stick, like the Green Bay Packers did, and maybe it comes together. That's great. But they signed Rhys Hoskins, and a few days later, they traded their best asset, their best player. That's interesting. I mean, obviously, they're looking at the big picture that's several years down the road and not just this season, and I completely respect that. But the Brewers have never been to the World Series. So they might want to start packing up for one season at a time once in a while.
Yeah, and like not even
they have been to the World Series, of course. I just mean in this like generation.
Packing it all, like you didn't have to deplete your farm system, I don't think, to give it a crack in 2024. You could have traded these guys at the deadline if it's not completely working. I think all of that would have made sense. Now, sure, the Rays have been doing this kind of thing forever and they've stayed competitive because of it.
Yeah.
Good for them. I think that the Raysification of front office moves and baseball management kind of lame.
Yeah,
it totally makes sense on paper, but like it was going to be kind of cool and interesting and intriguing and exciting at the very least to like see the Brewers do the thing that the math says they shouldn't do.
Yeah. In case people didn't hear it, of course I know the Brewers have gone to the World Series. I'm just saying since the adult lives of most of us, most middle-aged
folks, my life or your life.
Well, technically I was a few months old when they went the first time.
So in your life. That's like me saying saying the Packers have won two Super Bowls in my life, which is true.
Yeah. That's true. Obviously they've been once, they have not been back, they have not won a World Series. What was I going to say? Something kind I was going to say, but I don't remember. I'm surprised as we've been having this conversation that I'm even that down on it because I really thought it was fine. You know, I thought it was adequate.
I'm talking you down on it, even though I'm sitting here saying like, yeah, it makes sense. But then I'm like, cowards. No, I'm not actually saying that. But
I do think there's a really good chance that in 3 years, the Brewers are at the very top of baseball. I think there's a chance that in 3 years they're a very good team. It's just you refer to the Raysification. I do think this team is modeling the way they do things after the Rays. I don't think that's, not only do I think it's prudent, but I think it can be fun. I mean, if your team goes to the playoffs or competes for the playoffs every year like the Brewers have, that is fun. You'll find somebody to latch onto. You know, the Rowdy Tellezes of the world will become the favorite player in town. And that's okay. It's okay to move on from your best players earlier rather than later. It is okay to do that. I think for me, it's a matter of wondering if there was a better deal out there. Probably not. I don't know.
I would guess there's not a better deal since that's the one they took. The system's great. The future's bright. I love a lot of these prospects. This is just the thing. It's like, you kind of look at the Brewers right now and the young players that are proven. It's William Contreras, right? And I think maybe the couple of them might be at that level at the end of the year, but a couple of them will probably fall off. So
yeah,
they're going to be compelling to watch this year, even without Corbin Burns, because we'll have an idea how the future is set up.
Yeah. Who is going to pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2024?
You, the fans.
Well, we still have, we still owe the listeners a preseason predictions podcast. We will get to that. We will still have that. Maybe next week we can dig that out. I figured it'd be nice to wait because we still don't know the final look of this roster. There's a long way to go, really. Even though it's just a couple weeks away from the start of spring training, so we'll be back with you very soon. We're gonna get going sooner than you know it here. It's been a nice mild winter, and it's even warmer down in Arizona. So we will talk to you again very soon, Kurt. Thank you for joining me, man. Have a good night.
Ta-da.